Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a man whose life was heavily impacted by many NFL schedule releases because that's what he had to do. He's former Browns punter Dave Zastadil. Hello, Dave. Good to have you, buddy.
Hey, guys. Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Riddle me this one. From a player's perspective, what does the release of the schedule do for you?
Well, I think right now there's so much uncertainty that I think it kind of gets you back into the mindset of, hey, you know, we have a job to do and we have something to focus on and we have some expectations, I think, specifically around Cleveland. And I think it allows people to, especially players, to kind of refocus and look forward to understand. I don't know. I remember as a former player, you could look at the whole schedule. And I know as a punter and a kicker, I know Phil Dawson, I always looked at the late games to see if we were going to be punting in snow and wind. But I think for the majority of players, they focus on that first game. And I think when everybody saw Baltimore, it kind of allowed everybody to go, hey, this is real. We got to start getting ready for this. And we got a new coach, new staff. And I think it caused everybody to start refocusing.
Hey, when you look at the Ravens, Dave, do you think that game last year the Browns played in Baltimore sticks in their craw a little bit, knowing that they were a better team than that? I mean, obviously their last game of the season is the one that should probably really stick in their craw. But, I mean, that was a benchmark game for the Browns last year. Everyone's like, well, we hope they're as good as this team was. Is that the kind of game – I mean, does that stick from season to season?
Yeah, I mean, your division games always stick with you. I think Baltimore, if you look back at the history from the Browns, we've always played them close for the most part. It's always been good games. Right. Even when they've come into Cleveland, it's, you know, I remember talking with some guys that were on the Ravens. They said, hey, you know, Cleveland's Cleveland, but no matter what, we know we're going to be in for a dogfight. So I expect it to be a close game. I mean, there's no secret that we have to shut down Lamar Jackson. And I think if they're going to, the Browns, you know, are probably going to, the coaching staff's probably going to look back at some film, playoffs, and even the game we played in first and how to try to get a game plan to do that. But I think it's going to be a close game. We've always played them tight. It's a division game. The problem I see is just how rusty is everybody going to be depending on how OTAs and mini camps and all that go. And especially with the new coaching staff, a new system, is that going to be clicking on game one? When typically you may see that, as Trent Dilfer said, may not start clicking until about game four.
Dave Zastadil joining us. Dave, I think it's interesting that you refer to the Browns as we and the Ravens as them. When you spent the first 4 years of your career with the Ravens and then the next four with the Browns and the final four with the Arizona Cardinals, as a kid who grew up in Cleveland as a Browns fan, what was it like going to the Baltimore Ravens when you started your career? Was it odd at all, or was it just, okay, this is where I'm going?
It was odd in the sense that I didn't think that's where I was going to be drafted. I was expecting some other teams that showed more interest. So at first it was odd just because I was shocked that they took a chance on me. The second thing was, yeah, we were diehard Browns fans. My family was about as diehard as it got back then. And everybody was crushed by the situation. So when I got drafted by there, there was some mixed emotions because I knew my family was like out of all teams that had been Baltimore. But at the same time, they thought it was kind of neat because Ozzie Newsome called me. Ed Carroll was the equipment manager. Bill Tessendorf, longtime trainer with the Browns, The list goes on and on of Ernest Biner eventually was a running back coach. So it was the old Browns, literally, still a lot of chunks of memories and players and coaches that were still there. So it was really bittersweet. But I remember when Art Modell came on the sideline to practice and shook my hand, you know, it was still, I chuckled inside because I just knew growing up, you know, before specifically when I was in college and I didn't know a lot of things back then. It just was funny shaking his hand and saying, "Hey, thanks for writing my check," when, you know, probably about a year ago, I couldn't stand you. You know?
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's funny. Right, Dave, this is probably the dumbest question I'm ever going to ask. So I ask a lot of dumb questions.
Andy, it has competition, I'm sure.
Listen, when you punt in an NFL game, does it matter if there's people in the stands? Does it matter when you kick or punt in an NFL game?
I don't think so much when you kick and punt. You feel the pressure, I think, in any position because, you know, there's momentum shifts in the game, and I think the crowds get into it. I think, you know, you look at Seattle, they call them the 12th man because of how loud it got. And, you know, and then there's a little bit of intimidation factor will go. But what it does, it hypes up the players. The players, you know, during the course of a game, it's amazing how one play, an interception, a block punt, can change the momentum of a game. And then you have the crowd behind you. You get up and you get to that next level of, you know, of excitement and adrenaline. And I don't think that's going to be there if there's no fans. That kind of temperament's not going to be there. So I definitely think it's going to play a factor when you're talking about major shifts in the game. And even at the end of the game, when a kicker's kicking a, you know, game winner and the crowd's booing and, you know, screaming, those are all pressure type things that a crowd brings to a game. So I do think it'll definitely impact the game, but it'll impact it in certain situations.
Like, would you rather have it be loud or quiet when you were kicking?
You know,
or it didn't matter.
Probably loud, because when nobody was screaming and you could hear a pin drop, everyone was focusing on you. And if you shanked a punt, it'd be like, you know, regardless, it's a bad thing and a tough thing to do. But, you know, to me, it didn't really matter when I was kicking or punting. I just think it matters when you have, you know, someone that's a really good quarterback, you know, like Lamar Jackson, or, you know, you get even, you know, throw Baker in there. And then all of a sudden the crowd's so loud, you're causing offensive linemen to jump off, you know, have false starts. I mean, those are the things that crowd noise brings to the table. When you're 3rd and 5, someone false starts, now you're now, you know, 3rd and 10. Those are huge 5 yards in the course of a game. So the crowd definitely plays a factor.
Dave Zastadil joining us, former Browns punter. Dave, I give the NFL credit for just kind of a going ahead with business as usual. And we all know that it's anything but in our situation right now. And the NFL has canceled things they've had to cancel where it involved people getting together. And they have figured out ways to do things otherwise, including releasing a schedule and planning for next year and putting contingencies into the existing schedule. Are you okay with what the NFL has done here in the offseason, or is there anything that you would have tinkered with?
No, I think the NFL is lucky the fact of the matter that their season, you know, pretty much, you know, begins in September, you know, the first game. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there, I think, with this COVID-19 crisis. I think, you know, obviously baseball, basketball, they're unfortunate because the timing of it is right when their season was. So I think the NFL has to plan for this. I think, you know, we're seeing the curve flattening. I think we're seeing states starting to reopen restaurants and dining. And, you know, I think when you look at typically the flu season, the summer and early fall or into the fall is usually, you know, not it's usually pretty okay. That's not a bad part of when the flu season kicks in. So I think they're going with expectations that they're going to play. And I think they're going to be very cautious on how to maneuver fans, social gatherings. But I think as far as if there's testing that the players can get before the game and everybody, you know, test all right, if there's no fans and they can play the game, you know, they're going to do everything they can because those TV contracts are probably, you know, so lucrative that, you know, they're going to try to do everything they can because it's devastating when you don't play these sports, whether it's college, NBA, you know, there's really not insurance out there that's covering this. So it's just a huge financial loss and America needs it, right? We need our sports back. We need to turn on the TV and gather around and watch something we're excited about. So I think they're doing the right thing. I think there's a lot of smart people that are going to really be conscientious about how to move forward.
You know, you talked about college for a second there. I'm wondering how it's going to play out for the schools that are, you know, non-Power Five, the Ohio Universities of the world, and what effect this is going to have on not only football in Athens, but every other sport in Athens too. And I don't know, have you really thought about that? About, you know, what happens if, you know, if we don't have college football, what does that mean in Athens? What does that mean? You know what I'm saying?
No, it's a good point. I mean, we, you know, going out and playing Ohio State or Wisconsin and the money that you would get from those games, you know, that was crucial not only for the football team or even the bowl games, you know, not even for the football team, but they would spread that wealth around to, you know, different sports. And there was definitely a continuous effect, whether it was wrestling, you know, swimming, et cetera. And when you don't have that income coming in, those universities, they don't allocate as much money to sports in general. And so that, you know, I haven't thought about it, to be honest with you. But I can't imagine it'll be anything less than devastating.
Dave Zastedal is joining us. Dave, the offseason has been, I think, a productive one for the Browns. I liked what Andrew Berry did in free agency, and I think we were all waiting to see what he did in the draft. What's your assessment of the new front office and the new regime and the approach they've taken so far this offseason?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, because everybody brings up, well, last year everybody had such high expectations, so let's pump the brakes here this year so we don't get our expectations too high. But, you know, every time a new regime comes in, a new coaching staff, you really have to look at it, you know, almost with a breath of fresh air. And I think when you look at the draft, there's no question we need an offensive tackle. There's no question we needed a safety. And those guys were addressed early. And in my opinion, I think they got the two best players at those positions in the draft. You know, they talk about Trent Williams, you know, signing him. When you look at his history of injury, you look at his age, I think they made a really smart move. They got a guy that they believe is an all franchise tackle, like they did with Joe Thomas. Let him develop, let Joe work with him. You got Conklin coming on the right side. I just think that they addressed the needs that they really saw during the season that caused them to lose games. And I think if they're going to have Baker Mayfield as a franchise quarterback, I think it's kind of a make it or break it year for him. So what they did is say, hey, listen, we'll get you a tight end. We'll get you an all-pro tight end. We'll get you an offensive tackles to protect your outside. We feel pretty confident with our interior line. We're going to give you all the tools. Now it's you have to go out and play and you have to make plays. So I think there's really no excuses this year for him not to have the type of season that I think he's capable of having. But I'm pretty happy with the way the front office looked at this. They said, hey, listen, what was our biggest weakness last year? And that was Baker getting flushed and Baker getting sacked and pressured. So they addressed it. They took care of a safety. They filled in with some holes in free agency. So now they just got to come together. And if Stefanski is as good as I heard he is, you got a chance to be pretty good.
One last question for me, Dave. I'm just curious, for a guy that played for Bruce Arians in Arizona, how is that relationship going to work with him and Tom Brady? And what's that going to look like?
I'll tell you what, it's going to be fantastic. Bruce Arians, if you're a veteran player and you're a veteran player that's proved yourself throughout your career, Bruce Arians is going to treat you great. He's not going to take his foot off the pedal on you. He'll still work you hard. And I saw him do it with Larry Fitzgerald, but he is a guy that guys, for some reason, the way his personality is and the way he coaches, and his philosophy of, hey, I'm going to coach you hard, but I'm going to hug you harder later. That philosophy with him and his personality has worked and has made him so successful. And I saw it firsthand. So when you bring a Gronkowski and a Tom Brady, they're going to love playing for him. They're going to do everything they can to win for him. And I expect that Tampa Bay team to be pretty darn good if they stay healthy.
David, as always, thank you for your time, buddy. Great to talk
thanks,
to you.
Man.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me. Hope everybody stays safe with their family and, you know, have a great rest of your weekend, guys.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Zastedal, former Brown, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.